Our relationships are a lot like human pyramids. They require tremendous skill and effort to build up. And they are super fragile, and they fall apart easily. And it doesn't take much. And oftentimes when you have a falling, it affects and hurts a lot of people. But when we can get them to stick together, people have the potential of accomplishing so much more together than apart, including in our church or our marriages or as a community or as a country. And you could like any aspect of our lives where relationships are necessary. And so today, I want to invite you to turn your Bible. Actually, this passage I'll show right up on the screen for you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Paul stresses in Ephesians that we need to focus on building each other up, because he knew that our relationships are super fragile. So he says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. That's one thing I want to become good at, is not only being a part of teams that accomplish a lot, but I want to help other people accomplish a lot. And so how do I become someone who builds others to accomplish great things? We're told that we got to start by stop talking negative about others. Stop talking in a way that hurts others. We live in a time and culture where we love drama. We love something to talk about, especially if it's juicy. And thanks to the news and social media and the fact that we live our lives in a way in which we interact frequently with each other, it provides us with a lot of ammo and a lot of opportunities to take shots at each other, especially when the other person's not around. I stopped for lunch on Thursday, on Wednesday. I stopped by home to eat lunch, and I was brainstorming with Amy about this topic. And I said, Amy, I asked her, I said, is it ever okay to talk negatively about someone when they're not present? And she goes, oh boy, I hope so. She goes, because we do it all the time. And it's true. But it's probably why we also live in a time when everyone's divided. Just look at our country's political culture, or look at our church, or the churches in our community. Look at our family relationships and think about all the siblings and family members we're not comfortable talking to. So many are torn apart, not just because there are flawed people involved, but because we have a tendency to talk about each other negatively when they're not around. And what this does is it drives a wedge between us. That's why Jesus told us to stop criticizing, to cut it out. He tells us in Matthew 7:1, do not judge, or you too will be judged. We justify it in a lot of aspects, and we relabel it. We relabel it venting. I'm just venting. Or we'll say things like, I'm just gonna criticize for a moment. But that's what criticizing is. Criticizing is judging, and when we criticize people when they're not present, that's what gossiping is. When we gossip, it's usually for our benefit, not anybody else's. It's usually like purely selfish, if you think about it. The goal isn't to build anybody else up. It's just for us to have a fun conversation. And that's our goal. Our goal our goal in Ephesians says our goal is to avoid negative talk and work to build each other up. How do we help people become better and accomplish more? The sneaky thing about gossiping is we rarely have all the information, and a lot of times our stories become inaccurate. So not only are we damaging people and their reputation, but a lot of times we're damaging them even unjustly because we're saying things that aren't necessarily true. And if they ever find out about it, not only are they even more hurt, but then our relationship's super damaged. And it also ruins, if you think about it, it doesn't just ruin the person you're talking about, but it damages the relationship with a person with whom you criticize too about someone else. Because they quickly learn that you're the type of person that would talk negative about people, which will say, hey, I shouldn't share my shortcomings with that person because when I'm not around, they're likely to do the same thing about me. So it hurts the person you talk about, it hurts you. And it's something that, man, I learned my lesson like a couple of weeks ago. We went to Indiana, and I have a lot of siblings, and a lot of them are outspoken, and there was some juicy drama between two of my sisters. And I fell into the trap. I heard one of the sisters talking about it, and I jumped into the middle of the conversation, and like it was kind of one of those things everyone kind of sits around and listens to late at night, and I didn't get all the information, but I pieced the pieces of the puzzle together enough. And so the next day, I remember sitting around my brother's pool, and a couple of my other siblings were there, and I said, "Hey, did you guys hear?" And they're like, "What? What did you hear?" And I sat there and I told them, and I told him about my two other sisters' bickerings and their problems with each other. And it was fun. It was juicy. It was good. And then later on, we had a family dinner, and one of the sisters involved, she's the one right below me in age, and we're sitting in the kitchen, and she goes, "Man," she goes, "someone started a rumor about me, man." She goes, and she told me. She told me all about it, and she goes, "There's a rumor going around that I did this." She's like, "And I didn't do this." And I realized the person who made up that rumor was me. I get full credit for it. And I'm like, oh, stink. Like, it was me. And I'm like, in that moment, I had to decide, okay, I'm going to say, "Ooh, that stinks. I'm sorry about that." Or am I going to fess up to it? And I said, "Sarah," I said, "I think I started that." I said, apparently I entered the middle of a conversation. I didn't get all the details, and I shouldn't have been talking about it yet. So later on, when I got back to Maine, I had to send her and my other sister a text message, and I had to include all of my siblings in it that sat around and gossiped with me about it. And I said, "Listen, I should have kept my nose out of their business. I'm sorry." And I said, and sure enough, I got all the information wrong, and I heard him, and like, this wasn't true. It wasn't accurate. And it's exactly what Proverbs 16:28 says. It says, a perverse person stirs up conflict. Another translation says, a wicked person stirs up conflict. And a gossip separates close friends. My goal in talking about my sisters wasn't because I loved my sisters. It's because I was trying to have some fun at their expense. And it did cost them. And it probably has still caused those two sisters, even though I set the record straight, it probably has caused my sisters to be further apart than they were before. Just because they know I and other people were talking bad about them. And it's damaged that even though I have apologized, I probably can't fix. Proverbs 26:20 says, "Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down." The reality is, if I just let it be and mind my own business or talked about anything else or had fun, the problem would have probably just taken care of itself. But I added wood to the fire. I kept the fighting going. Gossip's just too easy to justify in the moment. Until we establish the discipline, including myself, to filter it through the question, does my conversation build others up? Does it build it up or does it damage other people? Complaining about a coworker or another person in our youth program probably doesn't build them up. Venting about your spouse or your ex-boyfriend or girlfriend probably doesn't build them up. Criticizing a politician even, or a parent, or any leader, whether you agree with them or not, it doesn't build them up, and it probably doesn't even build the person up you're talking to. It just simply does damage to people. Eleanor Roosevelt said, "Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events, and small minds discuss people." What she recognizes is that criticizing people accomplishes nothing good, and it keeps us from talking about things that actually would accomplish something, something positive. Like, and I ask myself, are you saying we should simply act like people's behaviors doesn't, bad behaviors doesn't exist? Do we simply let people make bad decisions and act like everything is okay? No, no. There is a way of addressing people's bad behavior. But it's never productive to talk about them to other people. Sometimes, if we love someone and our goal is genuinely to build them up, it's necessary to address their issue. But the way to do that is to follow the process Jesus laid out for us in Matthew chapter 18. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18, your Bibles or your Bible apps. And he, just in three verses, he kind of lays out the process of what it looks like that if you have someone who does have an issue that needs to be addressed, and you feel the need to address it, well, follow this. This is the way you should follow it. Don't gossip about them behind their back. But he says in verse 15, Matthew chapter 8, verse 15 through 17. He says, "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault." Key words, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you've won them over. Congratulations, good job. But if they will not listen, well, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Grab someone to mediate, someone to decipher the unbiased facts. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. Go have a meeting with leaders in the church, the elders, and say, "Hey, can you help us work through this? We're having a hard time." And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. So step one, you go and talk to them about it, not anyone else. Step two, you take one or two others, take a mediator. Step three, you bring the issue to the church leaders, the elders. And step four, you distance yourself from them as you would a wicked person or someone who would harm you. And you need to start with step one if you feel the need to address the issue. But don't make the mistake of jumping directly to step four, which is our default. Our default is when someone does something bad or they wrong us, we immediately distance ourselves from them. We cut off relationships. We don't reply to texts. And he says, don't do that. If you think about it, like, that's division. That's hurting people. But our goal, remember the goal, it's to build each other up. And when you're working with teams or where you're working with other people, people make mistakes. It's tough. And you have to really work hard to keep it together. Now, if you don't feel like it's appropriate to talk with them directly, like maybe you don't know all the details and it's none of your business, then you probably shouldn't be focusing on their faults. And you definitely shouldn't be talking about it to others. The reality is this: we all have strengths and weaknesses. When we focus on and discuss people's weaknesses, we do damage. We hurt them. We hurt us. But if we get ourselves to discuss people's strengths instead, we build them up. Look, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 with me once. I got to sell it to you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It says, starting in verse 9, it says, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing." And you're thinking what I'm thinking, and why would I want to do that? It's because that's what it takes to build each other up. And remember, that's our goal. It's our goal to build each other up. And in addition to that, if you keep reading, it says, "Repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." When we discuss people's strengths instead of their flaws, it promotes peace. It builds them up. And God says he blesses our lives when we do that. That it makes our life better, our days better. He says he watches us and takes care of us. And he listens to our prayers when we do. When we use self-control and talk about others graciously, we are promised to be blessed by God, and it makes us feel better. In Proverbs 16:24, it says, "Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." Criticism hurts us. It causes us to feel frustration. But gracious talking about others makes you feel happier and healthier. Example, my dad has spent a lot of years coaching volleyball. And one of the things he always does at the beginning of the summer, or at the beginning of the practice season, is he holds competitions in practice. And he holds a notepad with a pen and a paper, and with all the girls' names on it. And whenever he says, "Okay, listen, we're going to have a competition to see who can score the most points. The way you score a point is by complimenting other people." So he said, "You have to hunt for ways to compliment each other." And he would. And the practice is, he would keep a scoreboard or a little score chart, and he would sit there and keep score. And anyone says, "Hey, good job, good hit, good serve, good volley, whatever. Or nice try, good effort." Anytime, they would get a little mark. And he says this, the season would begin and everyone kind of gets frustrated at each other because everyone stinks. Everyone's no good. And everyone's a little frustrated at each other until they start doing this. And then they focus on the competition. And it doesn't take long that the player's attitude changes from being focused on themselves and how other people are hurting them, to their attitude becomes focused on their teammates. And encouraging them. And he says, the girls have so much more fun. They're less self-confident. They end up making less mistakes because they're pumping each other up. And they're keeping each other going. And you can see this on sports teams. You can see this in the work life. You can see this in any relationships. That when we put into practice identifying each other's strengths and leaving out their weaknesses, it gets people encouraged. It builds them up. It enables them to do more instead of less. When someone messes up, our gut wants to criticize. But if we want to build people up, sometimes we need to hunt for compliments. Compliments don't need to be big. Simply acknowledge something positive someone's done. Mother Teresa said, "Kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are endless." Like it ripples through everything in a positive way. For instance, I remember when I was 10, I played baseball. And unlike some of these guys in my middle school group, I was definitely on the lower end of the totem pole. I was the kid that hung out a lot with the coaches in the dugout. We got along. And it wasn't because they liked me, it was because I didn't have a lot of skill on the field. And I was the kid that showed up to practice with two different kinds of cleats once by accident, just because I was an airhead. And my coaches knew that, and I didn't have a lot of highlights, except there was one time, I remember there was one game later on in my baseball career that I was in outfield, they were trying to tuck me away in the outfield, and sure enough, the ball got hit directly in my way, and for whatever reason, I went against my instincts, and I ran toward it, and I dove forward, like, I dove in the air and I caught it and like tumbled and like managed it. And my whole team was like, "What just happened from Josh?" And like it cheered. I remember I got the baseball from that game. I can't remember if we won or lost. Didn't matter to me. Like I had a proud moment. A few months ago, my dad ran into my little league coach, Jeff Goodman. He works in a printing company that prints jerseys and stuff. And my dad got talking with him and he said, "Hey, how's Josh doing?" He said, "Man, I still remember that catch." The reality is there is 1,000 bad things he probably remembers. But Jeff, I don't know if he's a Jesus follower or not, but he's learned that complimenting other people pays off. My dad called me up and he said, "Hey, I ran into your coach. He said he still remembers that catch." And it's like, man, that pumps me up. Like my emotions want to go back and see Jeff and just hang out with him. And I don't even know him. I'm not even on his team on anything. But it makes me want to be close with him. I know he cares about me. Mark Twain says, man, he says, he didn't say man. Mark Twain says, "I can live for 2 months on a good compliment." And it's true. Like our emotions crave compliments. And it builds us up and it keeps us going for a long time. And the reality is we all have the ability to compliment others. Which means we all have the ability to be people who build others up. We simply need to start putting it into practice. Hunt for small things to compliment people on. So here's a challenge. The next time that you are ready to vent or go talk negatively about someone, try to remember to practice leaving out the criticism and instead discussing the person's strengths. Just name one positive thing about the person. I'm not asking for perfection. I'm simply challenging us to pursue the goal of building others up. Let's be a team. God calls us to be gracious with others because he was gracious with us. Even while we were still sinning against him, he loved us so much that he sent Jesus, his son, to come to this earth and pay for our sins by dying on the cross. He rose from the dead and showed us that he has the power to raise us not only from the dead, But he has the power to help us live a new and better life now. He asks us to simply confess our sins and to receive Jesus as the God of our life. 1 John 1:12 says, "But to all who believed in him, Jesus, and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." And I would encourage you, focus on building others up. And if you haven't yet, put your faith in Jesus. Let's pray. God, I thank you for not focusing on my flaws. And I thank you for providing people like Jeff in my life who's willing to focus on my rare successes and to build me up. And I pray that you would help me and those of us here at White Pine to become more skilled at building each other up so that we can together accomplish great things. Help us to guard our mouth and never tear each other down. We thank you for loving us and being so gracious with us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.